I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with that super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. Big Dave, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
How's our sound check?
Yeah, we're doing good.
We're doing good. We got good sound?
I haven't got complaints yet.
No, it's been actually really good since you put the new system in. So this week, our topic has been collective culture. And today's Connection Thursday, we're going to have a discussion on the balanced mind. So when we are in a state of balanced mind, this is when we are in the flow, head, heart, and hand, and the mastermind connection. This state takes place when we become present, mindful, we find the now. Now, this state can only happen when we create balanced mind. The balanced mind is done through resetting of the cage mind, discovering of the creation mind, and then connection of the mastermind. Now, before I break this all down, I would like to take a little peek into the self-help industry. You all right with that?
Let's do it.
So the self-help industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And I believe this industry has helped many, many to create changes in their life. But I also know that this industry leaves many with more questions that they have now than when they started. They're wondering why this book, this course, this guru and their teachings did not work for them. Now, when someone fails to create change and they actually set out to accomplish this change, this will create a very strong program within the cage mind. This is the program, there's something wrong with me. It's a very self-destructive program, and it keeps individuals feeling broken. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the first time I heard about The Secret, I was in high school, probably like 11th grade, 10th grade, and I tried to do what it said. I changed my mindset, Nothing changed for me because I didn't do it. That was it. And to me, one, I kind of didn't believe it because it was just changed the mindset. But none of my actions were changed throughout the day. I just tried to stop the thoughts and it didn't do anything. And that's when I first gave up on like personal development, because that was the one that was supposed to change the game for everyone.
Sure.
It didn't change a single thing for me.
Well, I was scrolling. This is why I'm talking about it. I was scrolling through Facebook and somebody I know was talking about how they're suffering, midlife crisis. They got a new book and everybody was making a comment. No, she asked, is something wrong with me? No. Everybody's saying, no, I have the same thing. I have the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because they all think they're broken. And understand, no one is broken. The human being is hardwired for behavior. This behavior is dictated by what is held in mind. These programs held in mind create your ego and identity. These are not you. Many self-help teachers, coaches, even therapists are well-intentioned in helping people to create change, but they simply do not understand the process in creating change and how function and operation of the Homo sapien, the human being, actually works. So the self-help industry will reinforce perceptions of being inferior, or perceptions of being guilty, or that you need to be fixed. And the program or the system, if it doesn't work, did not fail. You did. And what this does is each time it lowers your self-worth, your self-esteem, and it starts to develop a poor self-image. And this pushes you to the next book or the next course. Understand, reading a book on how to become happy will never make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it goes with everything else. You know, you can read anything about literally anything, but the application or experience of it is really what you need from it.
So the self-help industry focuses on the problems. I feel tired. I'm lazy and I procrastinate. I can't stop eating sweets. And we tend to believe that these are actually the problem when they're actually a condition of the problem. Mm-hmm. I feel tired. Many times this cause can be physical. The body could be out of balance. It could be mental. You're stuck in the red zone. And in truth, it could be both. But a book on raising your energy will not help if you don't create a shift in the energy. This is only done through creating a balanced mind. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I am lazy and I procrastinate cannot be fixed with some book or an app or a technique. Procrastination is a fear energy. You only break this through the balance of the mind. I can't stop eating sweets. A book, a guru cannot change this if you don't know why you can't stop eating sweets. Is it physical? Is it mental? Is a program triggered by stress? See, the human being is hardwired for behavior. This behavior is dictated by what is held in mind. Starting a new diet might help you get away from the sweets. Well, it might help until you get stressed out and you'll really fall right back in. And then again, you failed, right?
Yeah.
So the self-help industry will market to your hopes, creating unrealistic expectations. 30 days to a new you. Take this pill and lose your weight. Go to this event and change your life. Most in the self-help industry truly do not understand the human being. Mm-hmm. Doesn't understand how the human's put together, how the human's programmed, and the process it really takes to create change within the human being. The promise of willpower is just a load of crap. There is no program going to give you willpower.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I think for that, the big issue that I see, like on the millennial side of it, is that we're getting really good at understanding how to use the ego versus how the actual person functions. Because the marketing of it and all of that is fantastic. Like, you can drive everyone in with no intentions of results. And that's usually what happens. You get people hyped up. You tell them what they want to hear. You throw them a course that sounds like it's going to answer all their... And then boom, nothing. Because they know how to manipulate the ego, but not actually how the person's supposed to function.
Yeah, it's too bad, because we have to understand the fact every single human being is hardwired for behavior. And 95% of this behavior stems from the subconscious of the cage mind. And that was set for you as a child. You do not change behavior unless you change the programming. And this begins with awareness of the programming. This is why we name the ego. You have to see the voice in your head. You have to see the story. You have to create that break between you and the ego with that energy of awareness. So everything starts with awareness. The second thing, once you have awareness, you got to develop practices. And these practices have to be designed to release the programs that are causing you the negative behavior. And these practices must help you set new programs to drive behavior which you desire. The techniques and practices used must become part of your identity. It's not something you use and stop. They have to become part of you. And the purpose of all of this work in developing practices is conflict resolution. And that'll bring you to number three. After a solid year of these practices, they become skills. 95% of your behavior is driven by the subconscious mind. Now you've created change because you've created new programming. That makes sense?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think millennials, the reason why we don't see a lot of results is that we're so used to quick results, quick things. Things are happening instantly. And like you said, it takes a year for this to happen. And by then, we've changed directions in our mind so many different times instead of staying on the course.
And that's not just you. That's a lot of people, even before the internet, because people want fast, easy things. And it's just impossible because mm-hmm. it's the way the human being works. There's a process to building a new skill. Now, I'm not beating up on the self-help industry, because I guess we're part of it, right? But in truth, self-help is a contradiction. It says your self needs help. Yet the self that is you true self is perfect. You're not broken. Your programs may be flawed, but you are not broken. In fact, you were born in the balanced mind. Mm-hmm. So the balanced mind is connection to the three minds. This creates one mind and connection to the all mind, which we can call the universe, we can call God. The three minds, cage mind, creation mind, and master mind, create that connection of one mind to the all mind. I might have to slow down and re-listen to that, but I think I got it right.
It sounded good to
right?
me.
So we look at the minds. Number one, the cage mind drives your unconscious behavior. The cage mind has two components, subconscious and conscious mind. The subconscious mind is what gets the cultural programming that we have been discussing all week. Whatever's programmed in the subconscious mind is protected against change by the comfort zone. It's designed to drive your behavior. Now, the subconscious mind also protects all functions of the body. This is done through the process of homeostasis. The subconscious mind is what holds the ego, the identity that was set for you as a child to function within the culture and tribe that you were born into. Again, designed to drive your behavior. The subconscious mind holds the programs and connects to the body through emotion. Program activates in the head, connects to the heart, stress loop creates the emotion, and now you feel the program activated. The subconscious mind records everything that happens in your life, and it's what stores your memories. The subconscious mind takes every order literally. What's an order? Any word you speak. Mm-hmm. It cannot differentiate between negative and positive. Self-deprecating humor is basically putting yourself into a negative state through the subconscious mind.
Self-sabotage.
Every time. And the subconscious mind controls 95% of your life through behavior. And the body, which we just said operates in stasis, well, guess what? So does the mind. The mind operates in stasis, designed to maintain that ego and identity and never to change. Very important. So that's the first component of the cage mind. The second component of the cage mind is the conscious mind. Now, the conscious mind is what identifies information through the senses. Number one. Number two, it will compare this information to what programming is held. And number three, the conscious mind will do an analysis. And this analysis is, does what's happening in our environment meet the expectation of the perception? And this will lead to behavior. Number four, a decision on what action to take. Mm-hmm. This is all done in less than a second. See, the cage mind will either drive behavior toward expanding a conflict, or it can drive behavior toward a resolution of a conflict. This all comes down to one thing. Who has conscious mind control? If it's the ego with conscious mind control, your behavior is going to be in the red zone, frustrated, angry, anxious, feeling guilty, stressed out, expanding the conflict. Now, if you slow down, take conscious mind control, this creates a balanced mind. Because at the moment you take conscious mind control, you take the cage mind and you connect it to the creation mind. This is head to heart. This is the process of being mindful. And now the conflict is now driven toward resolution. You're in focus. You're in flexibility. You're in willingness and acceptance. This is that connection of cage mind to creation mind. So that's the cage mind. Number two is the creation mind. This creation mind is the connection to the super conscious mind. Each of us is born in the creation mind and then programmed into the cage mind. So I was speaking the other day with a very successful entrepreneur. I told you about him. And he was telling me how he works his conflict resolution, how his conflict resolution process worked. He takes the conflict to water. It could be a pool. It could be a hot tub. He said, I sat in a hot tub 8 hours once to figure out a problem. That's where he figures it out. And he sits in the water or gets in the water until he gets the resolution. Now, this is a man that does $100 million in business and is self-made. His process is all about connecting to the superconscious mind. This is the connection to the universal energy. This is the connection to answers, because this creates true conflict resolution. See, when he does this, you can't have a problem without a story. He's centered. He's in the creation mind. To have a problem, the ego is the storyteller. He goes into water, he settles himself down, and he gets himself out of the cage mind and connects to the heart of the conscious mind. The creation mind, but he's taking conscious mind control. And this gives him the ability to connect to his purpose, which he's a growth purpose, by the way, to expand the culture. But it also connects to his imagination, to his values. And when we were talking, he told me, I connect to faith. And that's also part of the creation mind, mm-hmm. right? And gratitude. So that's the creation mind. That's how he solves problems, because that connection of cage mind, creation mind, brings him to mastermind. The mastermind or the cage mind head connected to the creation mind heart is what creates integrity of behavior, the hand. And this, when held, is the state of flow, the zone. The balanced mind is the human being's natural state. It's honestly the way we live for over 200,000 years. The balanced mind is all about mastering and self-authoring the cage mind. The balanced mind is connecting to the true self, you of the creation mind. The balanced mind is about slowing down, which creates the natural connection to the state of flow, the mastermind. And this is what creates integrity of behavior. This is being. This is the now. This is being mindful. That is what integrity of behavior is. Now, there is no hack or shortcut or magic formula to connect to this, because it's actually your natural state. So the connection to this is, one, you got to self-author the cage mind. That is moving out of stage 3 of development in stage 4. Two, you got to discover and connect to the creation mind. That's discovering your purpose, connecting to the heart. And three, you got to learn how to live in the mastermind. What is that? That's developing stress mastery and the skill of conflict resolution. So what are your thoughts on that?
The one thing that I think is real important for that is that he has his own way of doing things. You know, what works for him puts him in that state. I couldn't sit in a hot tub for 8 hours, but so that's the thing, is finding what works for you. And the other thing, it's talking about how it's not what you do, but how you do it. It's the unwavering, creating that integrity between you and being able to sit there until it's resolved. I think so many people give up. No, it's just how life is. No, it's not. Figure out how you want life to be and then continue.
I told you the idea he came up to sell his homes.
Yeah.
The woman in the red dress. But I'm not going to say that on air because it's too good. But I want to get this gentleman on and do an interview with him.
Oh, yeah. You
know?
Got to.
I mean, he is amazing. So let's talk about you guys all listening to this. And let's create some awareness. You have to create awareness. For the next week, I want to give you each a simple exercise. I want you to close for the next week. I want you to close each day and become aware of how much time that day you spent in each of the minds. So you close your day. Number one is a cage mind. All stressed out moments goes into cage mind. All habits goes into the cage mind, such as brushing your teeth, those. And all habits go into cage mind, even good and bad habits. If you're meditating and it's just a habit, it goes into cage mind. It doesn't go into creation mind unless it's raising your vibration. Big difference. But even working out, if you're just working out, you go to the gym and you're not conscious of it, you're in a cage mind. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the truth. You're really, if you're working out and you're on your phone, I'm telling you, you're in a cage mind.
Yeah, that brings me back to the episode that we talked about, prana, about doing things with intention and awareness. Easiest way to think about
So habits, good and bad, can be in a cage mind. All conflicts go in a cage mind. All negativity go in the cage mind. All times you were stuck in the past, cage mind. All future, cage mind. That means regret, cage mind, worry in the future. All anxiety, worry is logged into the cage mind. Right? Got it?
Got it.
Now the creation mind. True meditation goes in the creation mind. Journaling goes in the creation mind. Each time you consciously slow down, creation mind. When you consciously do the let go technique, creation mind. Awareness of the ego, seeing the story, creation mind. When you're writing, creation mind. When you're creating, creation mind. When you're in being, gratitude, true faith, creation mind. When you're mindful, this is logged into the creation mind. Anything else you would add in?
No, I think that's a really, that, there's not much more for that.
Now let's talk number three, the mastermind. Any time during the day that you experienced no time, you were in flow, there was no thought, it's called being in the zone, in the eternal now. Holding this state of being, log these into the mastermind. Now do this for a week. And please let me know the results. If you're in the community, David, put up the challenge. Okay? Will you do that?
Yeah, I'll put in, there's an accountability group inside the community now. Yeah. And
I just think it'll be fun because if you're really, really honest with yourself, because you got to be careful because the ego might try to weigh in, you will start to create awareness. And that's the first step of creating change. You got to see where you're spending your time during the day. Thoughts?
I think most people right now, especially millennials, and I'm going to start going to millennials and like the generation coming up that are kind of raised on it, think that always doing something is productive. You know, we always talk about busy time. I was answering this email or I was checking this or doing stuff like that. Yes, you waste a lot of time throughout the day, but you're not aware of what you're doing with your time.
When you're answering an email, are you in cage mind? Or because it really is about awareness. So you guys, it's an exercise to really open up your eyes. You might be shocked when you look at it.
Yeah, we just talked about that before we started this episode. I was like, man, I had to pause and not answer emails because I didn't really want to answer them. If I would have answered them in that state, no. But normally when I'm really connected, I know those emails need to get a point across and all that stuff. It's a very different thing, but it's the same action.
So let me introduce to you the tribe from Brazil, the Pirahans.
I've been waiting for this.
It's spelled actually P-I-R-A-H-A with a little U over the top S, right? But it's pronounced Pirahan, the Pirahans. So Dan Everett is a linguistic expert and a former missionary, and he spent 30 years living with the Pirahans. And the Pirahans is one of the last gathered hunter tribes on earth. The Pirahan and Everett's extensive research gives us a beautiful look into how we as human beings are actually designed to function. Mm-hmm. So the Pirahans are like a tribe that we talk about. They're 300 in number, which is actually when during the gather hunter period, those 200,000 years, they said there were like 100 to 150 members or 300 in number. They survive and live in the Amazon. They are what we talked about yesterday. They are built within a collective culture. And the collective culture works connected with the individual to the whole. Everything's about the tribe. Now, Everett explained that they are what he called an experiential culture. In other words, they learn everything through experience. Now, the Pirahan will bring their children up through experience. So the Pirahan mother will literally sit and watch their baby walk straight for the crackling fire. The baby gets burned, and through this experience, he learns not to touch fire. Now, the Pirahan is programmed for survival in the jungle. and the child is born into the tribe and goes through the same process as a child born in the United States. Same process, people. This is the point I want to get across to you. That child's in stage one impulsive mind, just like the child born in the United States is in stage one impulsive mind, which means the child's brain is operating in theta and a child is being programmed into the culture. Now, the pedion baby talk does not exist. Babies and children are spoken to with the same tone and respect as an adult would use in Western society. There's no baby talk. So that stage one of development that the pedion goes through is exactly the same. The child is recording the environment. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, stage two of development is where everything changes. Because the actual stage two of development, the imperial mind, operates today just like it did 200,000 years ago. It operates the same for the child in the United States as the child in the pedion. It's very different, though, the way they raise their children than the way we raise our children today. Remember, stage two of development goes from age 7 to 16, and it's about one thing, setting the identity into the culture through experience. So child winging in the pedion tribe is a traumatic experience for kids because it's actually built as a rite of passage, making them accountable for finding their own food. They get pushed out, go find your food. And crying and pleading for milk is ignored, forcing the child to learn to find their own food. In other words, they're taught how to survive, not through a book sitting in a classroom, but through the experience that they have to go out and do.
Mm-hmm.
So in Dan Everett's book, Don't Sleep, There Are Snakes, he gives a whole, it's a wonderful book, and he details his time and journey with the pedion. Now, Everett states they have no numbers, no fixed color terms, no words for all, each, and every. Time does not exist. There's no age. They live in the present. So think about that, David. They don't have numbers. They don't have days. You don't know how old you are, right? But how does you only can live then in the present because there was no yesterday. Yeah. And there's no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
There's only now. Now, it was interesting because the sleep patterns that the pedion slept in are the actual sleep patterns that we slept in for 200,000 years. And guess what? They're nothing like the modern world or as science has been telling us on how we're supposed to sleep. Their sleep cycle has no definite time. There's no 8 hours of sleep. And it's not dictated by light. Think about that. I always thought it was dictated by light. But if that was the pedion, they would sometimes have to sleep 12 hours a day if it was dictated by light. You know what dictates the sleep? The temperature change. Mm. They become so connected to the environment, to the land, to the air, to everything, that when the temperature changes, they sleep and then they wake up. It's like, I never heard. In fact, this is what drives me crazy because now I got to figure this out, right?
Well, I like the fan on.
Yeah, it's it's a weird thing. So Dan Everett came to do missionary work with them. But he soon discovered that the pedion were an extremely happy people. In fact, Everett said he did not in 30 years convert one of them to Christianity. The pedion, he stated, function as one unit. They do not have past tense. So they live life mindful. Being mindful is not something they try to do. It's the natural state every single one of them live in. And as far as, this is from Dan, as far as evaluating the intelligence of the pedion, Linda, if you're listening, every child, woman, and man knows the name of every single species of plant, flora, insect, animal that is in their environment. They know everything about their environment, and they all learn the skills of survival. Pretty smart, actually. They put them on their intelligence on a college level of a college, somebody going to college. I want you guys to think about that for a second, right? So Professor Ebert found that the Pedihan were so content and happy with life that he actually relinquished his own beliefs. He said, taking the message of God to the Pedihan was like taking ice to an Eskimo. And so I find it fascinating because we're talking this week on culture, right? And today we're talking about the mind and how important to create the balanced mind. The Pedihan naturally live in a balanced mind. Now, they're a prehistoric tribe. They don't have anything that we have except happiness. David, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's the less is more kind of thing.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because when you start to strip away all the things that aren't necessities, you know, all the survival, you know, core things that are there, you see a lot of the stuff that we complain about and do all that, but we kind of create most of them, especially, you know, internet's not fast enough, computers are getting slower, need to upgrade, need this. They don't have none of that. And it's just to feel how the body is,
but they
feel
don't
how
also,
the tribe is. And that.
They also can't go to the grocery store and buy food.
Yeah.
They can't go do this. So now it's interesting because there's great stories in Dan's book. So they do get influenced sometimes from the outside world. Like some of the Brazilian workers will come and they'll bring their boat down and they want some of the Pedihan to come and go work for them. And they want to pay them in food or furs or something like that. Well, one of the things that happened was interesting how the outside world can disrupt a tribe. This one trapper came down in a boat and Dan's telling the story that they always called Dan. Whoever came down would ask him if he could take some of the Pedihan, like he was in charge of the tribe, only because he looked different, right? So he was white, red beard, and that. But he goes, I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge of them. They have their own thing. But they would only, every single time a boat would come up, they'd want to talk to him. So he even talked to him and he stole them. He says, listen, you cannot sell them liquor. It actually was illegal to sell them liquor. Oh, this guy, I would never do that and do that. Well, one night they were out there and Dan's in his room and all of a sudden he hears them laughing and everything else. This guy gave them liquor, right? And all of a sudden, the Pedihan were coming and Dan could hear them talking. They were going to kill the white guy. And the Brazilian on the boat had told him that you got to go kill that white guy. And the reason you got to kill him is because he didn't want me to sell you anything. He didn't want me to do this for you. He didn't want me to sell you liquor. And they were literally going to kill him. Now, they're drunk and they're acting out of space, right? But Dan had to go defend himself. He had to really go up. And then when it all cleared the next days, they found out this guy lied to them, right? And the Pedihan turned on these guys. This guy was gone. But Dan goes, when he finally settled down, he goes, why did you want to hurt me? Because you told them not to sell us this and this. And he goes, well, you're not supposed to be sold alcohol. That's the law now. Well, you don't tell us what the law is. And Dan said, you're right. I don't tell you what the law is. This is your tribe and everything. But that disrupted the trust and everything else. Now, it all came back even stronger because he asked, do you want me to leave? I'll leave. You know, I'm not going to stay there. My family has got small kids. His family was in danger. He had to go hide his family. And so, but that just shows you that you can have a wonderful culture and it's operating in a balanced mind and it's operating in a collective consciousness. Everybody's working and something from the outside could come in and disrupt that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to understand in our own lives. When you're working on yourself and you're working on creating that self-authoring of the cage mind and redoing your habits and you're connecting your creation mind and you're working hard to get into flow, trust me, there will be somebody coming down your river that wants to disrupt what you're doing. Mm-hmm. People don't want to see you in peace. And some of those people might be the ones that you share your bed with. And you know that this can happen and it's not their intention because they're unconscious and you are changing the programming of your tribe. It's David.
It's a lot to wrap your head around, but I think when you understand how the process works and you stop trying to understand the person, I think that's where you really start to thrive. It's just, I get it, but I don't need to know why you do this. I just need to know why I felt that way. Sadhguru, something I just wrote in my journal that says, anger doesn't happen to you, you get angry. And that's the same thing with anything else that happens to you. Anything's coming outside, you have the power to control what's going on inside. And that's
absolutely and you have to understand, when you're on your journey, you got to be on your journey. And if the things that we're teaching you in Stress Mastery is so you can get through your journey, because people will try to pull you down, just like this person wanted to disrupt the tribe. Why would he want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not part of the tribe, right? That's it for today's show. Our mission here is the greatest shift in the planet. You could join us on that mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.